As we get to the end of the school year, as my profession as a high school principal, it's definitely exciting. I know the kids are excited to get out of there, and I'm excited to see them next year. But anyway, so question for you guys as we get started. Have you ever looked for something that you already had? Say this one more time. Okay, so have you ever looked for something that you... So there's a lot of different things that we look for that we might already have. So I will not claim to be the most cleanest and the most organized person, far, far from it. However, I'm definitely a routine. I like to do things in routine, and I have a routine. So to start off, like when we're putting the girls to bed at night, I'll leave and Bethany stays in with the girls, and then I'll go and I'll get my clothes out for the next day. Just part of the routine. I go and make sure I have my dress shirt. I make sure I have a tie and pants and underclothes, and I just make sure I have a belt, because that could be a really big problem. So I make sure I have everything that I need. So then when the morning comes, I get ready to leave, and I make sure that I have everything I need. I kind of do the old pat down. I make sure I have my phone. I make sure I have my watch. I make sure I have my keys, and I got to make sure I have two sets of keys because I'm one of the first one in the building, and it'd be really bad if I don't have my school keys and I got to wait for someone else to get there. I make sure I have my lunchbox. I make sure I have my computer bag. So there's definitely I make sure I have my name tag. There's a routine that I follow to make sure I have everything that I need. But then there's sometimes when I'm not in a routine and I'm just like going to the store. And, okay, well, I'm going to a store, so of course I got to have my keys, and then I got to make sure I have my wallet, because that would be really embarrassing, get a cartload of stuff and not have the money to pay for it. But then there's sometimes it's that blasted phone is sometimes a really hard thing to track, especially when you have it up to your ear and you're walking out and you're trying to find it. So, I mean, I've had multiple conversations where I'm on the phone with Bethany, and I'm trying to talk to her, and I'm looking, and I'm listening to what she has to say, and I'm like, yeah, uh-huh, but I'm sorry, Bethany, I'm admitting sometimes I'm not focused, because I know I have my wallet, and I know I have my keys, but I really cannot find my phone as I'm trying to walk out the door. And then I don't want to, like, be rude and interrupt our conversation and say, hey, did you see my phone before you left? Or, you know, so I want to act like I'm focused and I'm paying attention before I walk out the door, and then I have the aha moment. Oh, I'm on my phone. And so I know that probably never happens to anybody ever. But, you know, sometimes maybe it's a phone. Maybe it's your glasses, as Lene was volunteering herself to say, oh, more glasses. You put it on your head, and you have no idea. Now, I wear contacts. If I have my glasses on, and I know that I can't see. It's really terrible. So, but like whether it's glasses or sunglasses, I've seen videos where like little kids have the goggles on their head, and they're like, Mommy, where's my goggles? And they're like, wait, what are you asking for? Like, and they keep asking, going back and forth. It's like, can you feel your head? Oh, yeah, there's the goggles. So sometimes, it's hard to see what we already have. And at times we need a different perspective, or somebody else will point it out to us what we already have. Now, this is not a new concept. This is not something that's brand new. Not just since phones come out or cell phones come out have people not realized what they already had. So if we're looking in the Bible times, you know, when Jesus came in flesh to this earth, he was that different perspective that we needed. You know, he loved us so much, and he performed miracles, like, well, because that's one of the things that Jesus did, like healing a man with leprosy and healed a servant to a Roman officer by just saying the word. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he freed people who were possessed by demons, and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And all of that happened right there just in the chapter 8 of Matthew. So there's a lot of things that Jesus did when he was on this earth. And one of those things that he did, along with performing miracles, was he gave people a different perspective on life. And he gave us a different perspective on life other than what the Pharisees were already bringing to the table. He didn't, as we look at this first slide, he didn't come excuse me, he didn't come to change or abolish the law, but he came to fulfill it. Do not think that I've come, these are the words of Jesus, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Jesus wasn't in to making things, to changing things. He was just giving that different perspective in which we needed. So what we're going to do is this morning is we're going to actually be in Luke 15. That's where the majority or the meat of this message is coming from. And we're going to peek into one of these times where Jesus was showing the love of the Father starting in verse 1. This is what it says. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners, and I just had to laugh because even in the Bible it put it in quote, the sinners, were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And then in the New American Standard, it says both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble. Man, just grumbling at what Jesus was doing, because how could this guy, this man, Jesus, whether he's a rabbi, he's a prophet, there are all these names that they're giving to him, how in the world would he allow sinners to hang out with him? See, the Pharisees could only see the wrong that the sinners were guilty of, and Jesus came to say, I love you anyway. You know, that's one of those things. I think sometimes we just get so caught up, and we have that, it's easier to see what other people are doing instead of seeing what we're doing ourselves and things that we need to grow and need to get better in. But later in this chapter, Jesus was continually telling the crowd. He was telling the crowd the parable of the prodigal son. Okay, now that's one of those things. I think, Brian, like whenever I was little, and yes, I was little at one time, but whenever I was like maybe that tall, I remember listening or hearing the story of the prodigal son. Okay, and it's a parable that Jesus gave to really show people how much God loves them. So here we go. Starting in verse 11, it says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. So nowhere in this passage do we read that the father is disappointed or he's heartbroken. But we can see and we can sense, but because of his love for his sons, he was willing to divide his property and give the younger son his share of the estate before it was time. And we're going to come back to that in a minute. So as we keep going, it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. So in my mind is it's not just the property, whether he's getting property as well and he's selling it off, but he got all together, all that he had, and he set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So as we're looking at this younger son who got everything from his father that was due him, that was his part of his inheritance, and he spent it all. He squandered it all. Google was helping me out, look up what the word squander means, and it means to waste it means to waste something, especially money or time, in a reckless and a foolish manner. So in my mind, I just think of just, you know, hey, let's just throw money down the toilet and just hit the flusher and let it go. Just squandering it. For some of us, what is it that is very important to us? Some of us, yes, it's money. Others, it's time. And for me, time is very expensive in that we don't have a lot of it, but there's a high demand for it. There is times where I tell Bethany, and I'm talking to her, and I'm like, just so stressed. Or I feel like there's not enough time in the day. And as my position, being in the office, but then being in the hallways and talking to teachers and in the classrooms, I feel like my days fly by. There is not enough time at the end of the day. By the time I'm like, I need to meet with the kid, and the last bell rings, and it's time to go. But anyway, we might feel like there's not enough time in our day, or we may feel like some conversations that we have with people are an absolute waste of our time. It's not something that we're willing to squander, but this younger brother, this young son, He squandered everything. That's what Christ said. He said he squandered everything he had and became in great need. And maybe we are squandering time. Maybe we're wasting it. Maybe we're not using our time most effectively. Maybe we are squandering our education. The things that we've learned, we are just wasting it. Maybe we are squandering our skills. We're not using what God has given us. Maybe we're squandering our resources. Maybe we're squandering our friendships or our family or our energy. No matter what it is, are we wasting something that God has given us? Are we selling out to this world? Are we taking the things God has given us and selling them for temporary pleasure and success? You know, as I was going through this and I was even spending some time just reading over what God has been laying on my heart really for weeks, that stuff that even came to me even this morning is like, man, am I selling out to the world? Am I selling out? Am I giving up of my time? Or maybe I'm spending too much time on this thing that I can't ever find because it's at my ear, or maybe it's in my hands. Am I taking up, am I squandering what God has given me for something of temporary pleasure? Matthew 16:26 says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" So this is something that just my perspective is God was changing even through I feel like God was writing this through me, was that, man, what good is it if I forfeit everything? Everything that I have. So as we're going on, just laying out the scene, we have this door here, and this is actually going to be used by the youth in a little bit. The middle schoolers are going to help me just finish this message, but we're not there yet. But thinking about as this door is what we have doors, we have homes. And I'm sorry, is this door just open like that? I don't know if you guys noticed. Bethany pointed out to me when we were singing "Lord Reign in Me," the door opened up, and I felt like it was like, oh, God saying, "Okay, here I come." Like you're asking me to like reign in you. Well, then okay, I'm going to open up this door. But anyway, so as the young son, as the young brother, he walked out of the door and he left everything behind. He took what he thought he needed. He took what he thought he needed and he went and gave it to the world. So he went and hired himself, as we continue in Luke 15. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Like, I have not spent much time on a farm. I mean, I've gone to Toby's a couple times. Yeah, they were, like, cleaning out the cows the one time. I'm like, okay, that's bad. But anyway, so, like, the thing is that, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I did not experience that growing up. Like, last week, we went to the farm. We took our seventh graders to the farm, and that was really great because it was nice, but then I'm like, whew, this is just not the life for me. Like, I can't do this, but, you know, the one thing I've seen before is pigs, and pigs, it seems like they're always in something. Like, or the stereotypical, what we think of pigs, they're in the mud. They're rolling around. They eat anything. I'm actually reading Charlotte's Web with the girls, and you know, Wilbur the pig, who they just throw in everything. They throw in all the leftovers, the slop, and this guy who had everything that his father gave him is now settling for, man, I just want to eat what the pigs have because life is that bad. Excuse me. In Leviticus, according to Moses and Aaron's interaction with the Lord, so Old Testament, is that every animal that has a split hoof, not completely divided, or that does not chew the cud is unclean for you. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them will be unclean. And those pigs fall in that category. You know, think about pigs in scriptures. I think of the time where Jesus casted out the demons out of the man, and it went into the pigs, and the pigs ran off the cliff. Like, pigs are not usually in a good light at all. really, at anything, okay? So, but some people would have eaten pigs as meat, but not everyone. And this man was in so much need that his desire, he was desiring what the pigs were eating. I look at pigs like I was talking about like before with them. I was like, they're like living garbage disposals. They eat everything. And this man was willing to sink down to this. Listen, God put this on my heart at the beginning of the week. It says this: the world is only going to give you something when you have something to give in return. What you think about it? The world is only going to give you something when you have something to give in return. I bet you when that young son, whenever he had that money, the world was able to give anything. And we know that. Hey, all right, I have all this money. I get a tax return. I hit the lottery, whatever. I got a paycheck, whatever it is. Hey, whatever you want to buy, you can have it. Here you go. Here you go. Take it. It's all wonderful. You need this. You need that. You need this. You need that. And then when you don't have anything else to give, the world does not want anything to do with you. But the thing is that with this story, it wasn't just, it's not even just money. As we apply this to life, it's not even just money that the world and that Satan wants from you. You know what? He wants your time. He wants your energy. He wants your family. He wants your creativity. He wants your needs. He wants you to be so dependent upon him, and he will take it all from you. So the young son has nothing and willing to eat what the pigs are eating. But then the next verse says, but then he came to his senses. And he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. All right. Okay, so we had the light bulb moment. And now he's going to have a plan. I will set out and I'll go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. I just love the light. Like he has all, now, you know, he has all the solutions, of course. So it says, here we go. He realized that he messed up. He was now aware that it wasn't time to take his inheritance. He realized that he walked out of the house with something he already had. Maybe sometimes we're going out the door and we're like, okay, I'm going to look for something better. I'm going to look and I'm going to find something better. I'm going to be able to buy this. I'm going to be able to buy that. I'm going to be able to get something better. And sometimes we need to realize that the best thing is we already had it. It wasn't time for him to take his inheritance. Okay? That father was going to give him his inheritance in due time, but it wasn't time. See, sometimes we need to remember, or we need a reminder of who we are in Christ. Isaiah 40:28-31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the New American Standard says, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Sometimes instead of just jumping out, we need to wait. We need to wait and figure out, God, what do you want us to do? Next point. We can't leave home without him. We can't leave home without him. That's more important than grabbing your phone. That's more important than grabbing your keys, grabbing your wallet. You might be like, but I need those. Then you need to just go right back in that door. And you need to remember or realize what you have. Man, we are children of the Most High God. And that is the most important thing that we have and that we could ever possess. So, as we keep going in the parable, it says, but while he was still a long way off, so the son's coming back, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I mean, I just, That's those things like growing up, you just never even think about. But like, man, he's waiting. The Father is waiting. He is looking. He is waiting for his son to return. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You know, that's exciting that the Father is filled with love and compassion. You know, and as I'm going through this, it's like, you know, he knows when you are sleeping and he knows when you are awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. Oh, so be good for goodness sake. Yeah, no, so the thing is that he does know. He knows. So really the son apologizing and saying, you know, I have sinned against heaven. Yeah, I know. It's okay. I love you still. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you've been doing. And I still love you. Can you hit the slide? It says, he is looking out for us even when we are not looking for him. Man, that's such a relief. Because honestly, there are days when I walk out of my house and I have my phone and I have my wallet and I have my keys, but I walk out without being refreshed in my relationship with Christ. My mind is not set. My heart is not set in the right place. And then I'm trying to go and take this world on without having the best resource that I could have ever wished for. You know, I was watching a video this morning because, well, it was on my mind. But you ever hear like the Oprah Winfrey, the you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. So I watched that video this morning because I was like, I got to watch this. What happened? And if you don't know the background to that, you know, well, Oprah always gave everything away. And everybody, they walked out. All these people walked out with these little boxes. And everybody got one in the audience. Everybody got a box. And she said, so there's one box out there that has the keys to this car. And you'll be able to have it, you know, but no, don't open your boxes yet. We're all going to do this together. And going through and then describing and explaining, like, you know, it's going to be really exciting or whatever. And then they start opening the box and you hear, ah, 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 and everybody just starts screaming. It's like, and it's like, yeah, it's like, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. She was so excited about saying that everybody was getting a car. You know, and then I was thinking about this, but like, what if it's like, you have a relationship with Christ, 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 because all of us have that access. It's better than a car, because I was thinking about that, like, oh, man, well, I just had my car in the shop on Friday and had to spend a few hundred dollars that I really didn't want to, but praise God that we had it. But it's one of those things. It's like, oh, I could deal with a car. But the thing is with a car is that car is going to rust. It's going to wear up over time. You're going to need to put gas in it. You're going to have insurance. You're going to have inspected yearly. You know, there's all these different things that you're going to have to worry about having a vehicle. And that vehicle is not going to last you forever. But a relationship with Christ is better than any car. It's better than any vehicle. It's better than any home. It's better than any object that we can have in this world. Amen. And I was like, wow, that's exciting. That's exciting to me. So, I mean, not that I was like picturing Oprah as being different, but I pictured that of just that you have a relationship. You have access to the Father. You have access to the Father. You know, and I think realizing of who we are in Christ definitely makes me excited about what that relationship with Christ means. In Romans 8:37, it says, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Whew. I have to calm down for a second. I lost track where it was. So anyway, if we keep going in the passage, it says, "But the Father." So this is after the son comes back with his head down saying, I'm so sorry, I'm not worthy of being your son, but I'll be your servant, please. The father said this to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. What excitement. Like, I'm just trying to picture myself being there. In spite of everything that the younger son did, the father knows who belongs to him. And he wants to make sure that everyone knows that his son has returned. Now, this is not like the get out of jail free card, but this is one of those things of saying that Christ loves us so much. He loves us so much. The Father has loved us so much that he sent Christ to bear all of our sins. He has that agape love. He has that unconditional love for his children and desires us to come back home to him. So much so that it wasn't the Father was waiting inside, sitting down. I'm not going to sit on your piano, David. But, you know, sitting there just like, where have you been? Took you long enough. Just so disappointed that the son doesn't even feel like, no. He was looking out for him. I could see him like busting through the door, running out to him and giving him a hug and kiss. It was like, I love you so much. Thank you. I'm so glad that you're willing, that you came home. And I feel like Christ is that same way. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for turning towards me and realizing that I love you so much. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus takes hold of me. It is important. It is important that we turn back to him daily, be hourly, maybe minutely. But you know what? That's where it always stopped. It always stopped right there. Oh man, the prodigal son, he came back home. Everything's wonderful, exciting. But God put this on my heart, and I felt like he was saying, read the whole parable, read the whole story, because there's another brother too. So meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now the older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. All these years, Father, I've been obedient. I've done what you've asked. I've attended church regularly. I've read my Bible. I attend life groups. I pray to you and for others. And for the most part, I'm a pretty good person. It's like the older brother's giving his resume. This is all that I've done. Comparing himself to the little brother, he's an idiot. Like, I don't know, like, what is wrong with him? He's messed up. But you're showing all this attention to him, and I've done everything that you've asked me to do. You know, sometimes I think we can get that way. We can get in that mindset. Well, hey, God, what about me? I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think sometimes we even look at it as, sometimes we look at this as, I've done what I was supposed to do. They messed up. Why is this happening to me? Or why am I not getting this? Or when bad things happen, why do bad things happen to good people? If we keep going in the scripture, it says, but when the son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Probably the mindset was, you're throwing a party for him. Are you serious right now? Are you serious? But I love the response that Jesus was, as he's just continuing in this parable. He says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Hey, there's people outside of our walls that we may dislike. We may not understand them. We don't believe that their actions profess who Christ is. And if we're living like Christ, we should be heartbroken about the lost and doing whatever we can to help them in their walk with Christ. We should be like the father who was not just disgruntled sitting at home but and saying, well, look what I'm doing. Look how great I am. But looking out for the lost, looking out for our brothers and sisters, the people that we work with and or the people that we come across and saying, you are going to be in hell. You are going to be apart from the Father if you do not have a relationship with him. As Tracy was sharing about her grandfather, of just that, how much of a difference that makes. Of when someone coming to Christ, how it affects an entire family. You know, yes, spending time in the Word is important. Yes, coming to be with the body is important. Yes, coming to life groups. Yes, reaching out to other people, it's all important. And we just need to realize who we are in Christ and who he has called us to be. Like, Christ is calling us to do so much. Okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to have the middle school students come up, and they're going to actually finish this by doing a song. They're going to do a drama with a song. I just want to reiterate as they're coming up. I just want to reiterate that God is calling us for a purpose. Some of us have been the younger kid and younger son and walked out and did whatever we wanted to do. And some of us have been growing up in the church and we've done everything that God has called us to do. But we need to realize that God is calling us for a great thing. And it's in a personal relationship with him. All right, I'm gonna get these guys set up just a quick second. And then please just listen to the song. Watch what they're doing, because it's very important.
So many years, have you been hoping that things would have changed by now? Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears? Don't forget the things that he has done before, and remember he can do it all once more. It's like the brightest sunrise waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope, hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn. All his promises are just up ahead. Maybe you just haven't seen it, just haven't seen it yet. Waiting on the other side of the darkest night.
Maybe we just haven't seen it. Okay? Maybe we just haven't seen exactly what God wants to do with us. You know, as I feel like God, he has a purpose. He has a plan. And I mean, these guys came up with the glow sticks idea. And I'm like, okay, let's go get some glow sticks. But just realizing that it's not just a glow stick. It's that God, he has something that's going to last even longer than that glow stick too. Is that he is willing to come outside of that door and reach out to us. He's willing, and he is. He looks out for us even when we are not looking for him. Praise God. Praise God indeed. Can you guys stand with me, please? Father, thank you. God, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you that you are looking out for me even when I'm not looking for you. And God, I pray that you would help me. Because God, I feel like you are a loving God and that you're not just going to jerk my head towards you, but you give me the opportunity to look back towards you. God, I pray that we as a body, God, we would just turn our bodies, turn our heads, turn our hearts towards you. And realize that we have the best thing. That we have the best thing that you've already provided. You've already given it to us. God, I thank you for these youth. God, I thank you for these kids that, Lord, it's tough to be a kid. It is not easy. There's a lot of temptations out there, Lord. But I thank you for their heart, God. I thank you that they are here. Even if it is that their parents are dragging them, Lord, I thank you that they are here. And I'm thankful that my mom, she drug me to church too. God, I pray that as we leave here today, I pray that we would leave differently than when we came in. God, I pray that you would give us your perspective in the world and that we would not just look at people as a waste of time, as a waste of energy, but God, I pray that you would help us to see people the way that you see them. It's your children. And they need love too. God, use us this day. Thank you for this opportunity just to gather with your body, Lord. Lord, we give you all the praise in your name, I pray. Amen. Have a great week.